How are you doing, Joey?
Good, Charles. How are you, man?
Great. So DJ, Joey Snow, man.
Yeah, exactly. Right in the house here.
Awesome. So I want to quickly tell people, please ask questions. Or you can give answers. But I want you to engage with us all day. We have a wonderful day of great content. Fire open Twitter. This is the hashtag you need to use. You're a tweeter. You understand what that means. And tweet in questions and answers. So Joey, you did a lot of work with keynotes, and you were also DJing. Tell us a little bit about these last few days, man.
Yeah, it's been crazy. It's a wild experience. So we had a little bit of a DJ set before each of the two keynotes.
Nice.
And I used a massive touchscreen monitor.
Okay.
With some software. It's called the Emulator. And it's basically, I mean, sound terms, it's a big MIDI controller.
Mm.
Allows me to control, play tracks, sync them all up, mix them like I would do with vinyl or with CDs, and it's all right there, touchscreen. It was actually really cool.
Nice.
It's really cool. I had a lot of people coming up and taking pictures.
I saw
something
one,
that actually. I'm not really used to doing.
Yeah.
When I'm DJing, is having a whole bunch of people standing around in front of me with their cameras.
It's excellent. Just,
yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome. Played some Dutch tunes this morning.
Great.
The guys on Twitter were all the Dutch guys were pretty happy. They're like, hey, Dutch tunes to come in the morning. So
awesome.
Did that day one and day two. A little more keynote action. I mean, obviously yesterday we talked with Brad.
Yes, you did.
Right after the keynote, so that was awesome. And just wrapped up yet another keynote on Windows.
Absolutely.
On
and
Windows.
That was the name of the gentleman?
Antoine Lebon.
Yes.
Yep.
Excellent.
Yep. Antoine, and they went through some really cool stuff. It's actually kind of interesting watching Twitter and some of the reactions around some of this stuff. I was really surprised that one of the folks actually tweeted, they're like, hey, I didn't know that Windows 8 could be used with a keyboard and a mouse. It's not just for the tablets.
Yes.
So, you know, they kind of went through all the different features, you know, using, swipe motions on a touchpad.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of walked through all the various aspects of Windows 8. And
excellent.
Kind of gave a good primer for folks. So it was
perfect.
Really cool. And then, of course, they showed off some devices, right?
Yes.
You've got to show off the toys.
Totally.
You've got to
show
off the toys.
It's all about the toys.
Absolutely. Well,
right?
Especially in our world, right?
Yeah, man. Modern computing on slates.
Yep, absolutely.
It's a beautiful operating system designed specifically for that, which is nice, the WinRT. And for developers, we're actually going to have some great panels today, and specifically around Windows 8, the notion of modern UI development. So I know you guys hear a lot about modern developers, right? Modern UI, modern stuff. And that's sort of what Metro is, right?
Yeah.
We're going to have a great panel of UI experts and people who actually designed sort of at least the XAML part of that world, just come up here and talk about and engage people about modern UI development. So that's a panel. If you're interested in that, I highly recommend it. You really will learn what Metro is. It's going to be Rick Barraza, Tim Heuer, and Gus Marino.
I think I already have a Twitter question already queued up for that panel.
Do you?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I'm watching Twitter during the keynote feed, and I think there's one already queued up for that. You know, talk a little bit about, hey, look, are developers really going to use this thing, right?
Sure.
And that's obviously an area of concern.
Absolutely.
So, what else you got going on? I mean, you got a huge schedule.
Yeah,
for everybody.
No, it's going to be quite the day. We're going to have Going Native Live after this. We'll have Steve Teixeira and Kate Gregory. Steve is he runs the feature team, like basically all the PMs and stuff, people who make decisions about what's going to be in the next version of Visual C++ and blah, blah, blah. Made some really interesting decisions lately. So we're going to have a great conversation. Kate, of course, is an awesome developer. Everybody out there probably knows her. She does talks at Tech Eds and mm-hmm. a bunch of other conferences around the world. She's also a C++ developer and a .NET developer and has a consulting business that works with both, and she does quite well. So she's always fun to talk to. Ping will be live, I think, for the first time ever on Channel 9 Live. That should be fun with Laura and Larry.
Definitely excited to see that one. That should be great to see. Yeah.
And then the live panel that I mentioned about modern UI development. Then we're going to have a panel with Jeffrey Snover, Michael Rees, Mark Rusinovich, Big Data and the Cloud.
You've got some firepower there, buddy.
Big Data and the Cloud. Yeah, man.
You've got the guys who architect Windows, the guys who architect Azure.
Yeah.
Big database guy. I'm kind of psyched for that one. That should be good.
Totally.
Should be a lot of fun.
Absolutely. So, right on. Beautiful. Rob Arts. Glad you're watching. So that kind of reminds me, I want to make sure that you guys are actually watching live. So ready? Yes or no? It's a joke, obviously, if you type either one, we know you're live. So let us know you're watching live. Press the Go Live button on the player that you're in. That way you're guaranteed to get questions live. Continuing with the schedule, we're going to have a great panel on security.
Oh, yeah.
Little things like Stuxnet and Flame have been...
Just little things.
Little things.
Yeah, they haven't caused much disruption in the world at all.
And these people on the panel, they know a little bit about security. Mark Rusinovich, Paula, I'm not even going to try your last name. I'll let you do that, but she's an expert. Andy Malone.
Andy, good friend Andy.
So security for hackers is what we're calling this panel. And in part of that, we're going to define what a hacker is. Also remember, when you're watching Channel 9 Live, keep Twitter open, either in your second monitor or, you know, however you plan on doing it, man. But you need to have it open so you can ask questions in real time.
Yep.
So we can get them to the people that are here.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of interaction really kind of helps out as we start chugging through an entire day of Channel 9 Live.
Absolutely,
broadcast.
Man.
It's a lot easier. It's a lot easier when you at home help out and
totally.
Get some questions.
Please, you know, listen, actually that brings up a good point. The whole reason we do this is so that people can ask questions. It's not really about you or me, right? It's about the people here and the people out there. You engage in a virtual medium. Twitter, maybe it's a little clumsy, but it's what we have right now.
Yep.
And it's so easy to use.
Yeah, absolutely.
So ask questions. Before going on the rest of the schedule, there's a special guest.
A guest already?
Well, listen, identity. I was thinking about identity the other day. You know, it's a hard problem.
Yeah, absolutely.
You could have a whole panel on it. But I wanted to bring up Vittorio Bertacci
Vittorio.
To come on up. How are you doing,
Ciao,
man?
Pablo. Ciao. How's it going?
Good. How are you doing?
Hey, Joy.
Yeah, all right. Good to see you.
I like your watch.
Oh, thank you.
Outstanding. So how are you doing, Vittorio?
I don't dare to complain.
Excellent. So you had a talk here, at least one.
Yep, I had one.
Okay, tell us about it.
All right. It was a very interesting talk, interesting in the Chinese curse sense, because we had a little internet outage during the talk. And the title of the talk was "A Lap Around Windows Azure Active Directory." And being Windows Azure, most of my demos were kind of cloud-based. Uh-huh. But luckily, I had a fantastic audience who were very, very patient.
Okay.
They had a fantastic imagination. So
great.
They imagined the part of the demos that didn't work. But but also, actually, the internet came back to save the day at the right moment. And I managed to actually show the main demo that I wanted to show.
Okay.
So it was I really enjoyed the talk.
Excellent. So it's been a while since we've talked. I mean, I remember coming to your office not too long ago. What are some of the latest things, cutting edge things going on in the identity world today?
Well, we just got there at the right time. Just last week, 2 weeks ago, we had our first technical unveiling of a Windows Azure Active Directory.
Nice.
Windows Azure Active Directory is a new essential service in our platform as a service offering. And substantially, it's an extension in the cloud of your Active Directory so that you can meet the needs of cloud applications, which happens to have the same needs as the, let's say, internet applications, but for the fact that we are in the cloud, if you use just the traditional directory, they might just not have the same flexibility. And instead, with this extension in the cloud, things are just really great.
Absolutely. Now, I noticed it's review time at Microsoft, and when I was doing my review,
right.
I actually went to Azure. It's actually running on Azure, and it's using Active Directory.
It absolutely is,
yes. So, rock and roll. It's always a fun time of year, man.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. Let me ask you, Vittorio, and it's something that I'm an Active Directory, you know, ADDS, right? A standard what Active Directory is running on inside of my own environment, right?
Yep.
How is it really different or similar? I mean, is it federation? When we talk about Windows Azure Active Directory, can you kind of give me just kind of
sure.
that quick little
absolutely.
What encompasses, doesn't encompass in it?
Absolutely. So first, I want to reassure you. You as an administrator, all the powers that you accumulated in your years learning how to use Active Directory, they are just all in the same place. Like you do exactly what you were doing until recently. The main thing that happens here is that if you want to take advantage of cloud-based applications, like the one that Charles just mentioned, what happens is that this application, you will want to reuse your existing investment. So for example, you don't want to synchronize passwords, and we cover that with Federation. Let's say that you just go through your local SDS and everything works. However, Federation solves a big part of the problem, but not the entire problem. So say that you land on this application, and this application wants to find out who is your manager, or if you're a manager, who your reports are. Now, if you'd have to take this application and go all the way to your on-premise directory, you'd have a latency that would be basically unacceptable, especially if you're thinking of like taking this application and selling it on large scale, which of course that's what you hope, because if you are aiming at the cloud market, you hope to sell as much as possible.
Yes.
So what happens is that with Windows Azure Active Directory, you can project parts of your directory, like for example, your users, the groups, the relationship between all the various elements, and just have it available in the cloud. And the interesting thing is that since here we are talking potentially about systems that needed to achieve incredible reach, we couldn't rely on the classic old protocols, which require you to have full control over everything. And so we completely embraced the REST movement. So now, if you wanted to manage your Active Directory, or if you wanted to read the information that I was talking about, you use pure REST. So you just do the classic post, patch, get. You get your results back in JSON, which is like stupid easy. And it's really, really, really very flexible. And so now, creating these kind of business-based applications, which take advantage of the information from the cloud, work just as well. Now, let me add one last thing. If you have your on-prem directory and you want to take advantage of that, then it works like I just described. But let's say that you are a company which you don't really have, like you are a non-traditional company. You don't have local machines, your employees are spread across the globe.
Yes.
And all you're doing is basically bringing those people together for collaboration and for using some line of business apps that are for your business, but you don't really have to like manage printers, for example.
Sure.
Well, in that case, you can use Windows Azure Active Directory just in the cloud. That's to say that you could have users, you could have groups, you could have roles, all living in the cloud without necessarily having the directory on-premise, which, again, we are seeing a huge surge of interest for this kind of workload.
Yes, that's kind of cool. That's really actually kind of cool, and especially with the REST piece.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it opens it up to web developers and people who are comfortable with JavaScript.
That is exactly right. That's the idea.
But of course, the people who aren't, what do you do for for C++ developers, Vittorio?
Well,
they have to find a REST API.
The idea is that if you go on REST, you are taking the minimum common denominator. That's to say that basically...
Keep on going. Just
pretty
keep
much
on going.
Pretty much every kind of device, language, or stack will be capable of... I like when you touch my hair.
This is your hair is really nice, man. What kind of conditioner do you use,
Fred? That's a secret. I can't say that.
I actually want to know, man.
If you want to do REST, you can do it from pretty much any device that can get an IP, any language, any stack, you'll be able to do so. So
you mentioned an interesting scenario. Are there really, you guys would both know this, I mean, are there really companies out there that have decided to go 100% to the cloud? I mean, that means you really, I mean, talk to me about that. Is there really companies that don't have on-premise IT infrastructure? Do you ever see that happening?
You know, yeah, I mean, I can definitely see it coming in the future, Charles. And one of the big challenges that I've seen is I talk about Windows Azure and we talk about cloud services is obviously the big one is compliance,
mm-hmm.
right? When you have to deal with compliance and you have to deal with regulatory things, various laws, it's sometimes tough to put, you know, customer information, your credit card information up into the cloud
Absolutely.
As well. There's also, it comes down to trust. I mean, that's ultimately what it is. Mm-hmm. IT guys have to develop some trust in cloud services to actually put it there. I've heard of some companies doing it, but that doesn't mean that there's not always a place to have some of this stuff. Mm-hmm. I think what is interesting here is in some of, in my previous life, some of the things that I've always wanted to do is expose pieces of my directory out to some of those services. And before we had to create DMZs, sort of main controllers up there, yep. use federation, which, as you know, you cannot federate, you know, everything out there.
Of course.
And it puts you at some risk. So this is where I love the fact that you can actually, you know, using Windows Azure Active Directory with the groups and the users and properties, printers, those things, kind of extend out beyond without putting your own internal infrastructure at risk. I mean, for me, I lived and breathed Active Directory for a very, very long time. Mm. I don't, that's my baby, right?
Sure.
I
do not.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly right. That's why Active Directory is why I'm 6'6".
All right.
But yeah, I didn't ever want to expose it. That was the hardest thing for me to do is I don't really want that out there because
sure.
that holds my security.
Well, one thing to remember is that right now, the things that are replicated in the cloud are not really, for example, your credentials.
Hmm.
Like the credentials are still on-premise, and you use that's why you use federation, because so you don't need to actually replicate passwords and similar. So all the good things that you get of federation, like employee leaves, is instantly deprovisioned. Like
sure.
you have no disgruntled employee that comes and do weird things. And the other is that this directory is really, how to say, even if it's in the cloud, you still manage it. You still completely
yeah.
own it. Like Microsoft might be helping you with the pipes, like with a liter of plumbing, but this is a true multi-tenant system. Let's say that you manage it, we don't manage it on your behalf, and you have a full control over this.
Mm.
In terms of security, it's one interesting thing that I like to remind people is that now we are coming out with this idea of Windows Azure Active Directory.
Mm.
But the essence of that thing is already being used by hundreds of thousands of organizations,
mm-hmm.
which means millions of users, because this thing is the backbone of Office 365.
Sure.
So if you're using Office 365, all the identity part that you're using is Windows Azure Active Directory. So this thing is pretty solid, of course.
What's the number one question you get in your sessions? What's the one thing you're constantly hearing in all of your travels and talks?
It's interesting. Like as Charles often likes to say, this is a complicated space. So it's difficult to pinpoint one specific area. I'd say that in my case, the questions are very often about protocols. Let's say that we are at an interesting time in which we are in a transition between the traditional world, in which you'd have very rich, very, let's say, I miss the term here, but let's say very thick protocols like the SAML protocol, the AWS Federation protocol,
sure.
AWS Trust protocol, that they give you a very high cryptographic guarantees.
Yes.
But those are things that you can't code in a weekend. Like, if you just wanted to sit in front of your machine and say, hey, let's just hack away. Unless you have a serious social problems like myself,
yeah,
I did
exactly.
write a SAML implementation back in the day in 2003. But a normal person with a social life and no issues communicating will not go there. And so now we are going in a direction where we are trying to simplify as much as possible, but not beyond what's possible. Let's say that, of course, security is not something I put a check mark, yes. I cared about
absolutely.
It. You have to make sure that what you are doing is actually protecting you.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a number of emerging standards, like, for example, the OpenID Connect,
okay.
which is layered on top of OAuth. And those things are actually helping you to do the same functionality that you do with SAML or with AWS Federation and similar, but dramatically simpler. And so that's an area where people are curious. They want to know what we are doing. Well, what we are doing is experimenting.
Okay.
We are trying to understand if this thing is the right candidate for simplifying this area. And so far, it's been very promising.
So sort of in the same vein, I mean, let's go down this rabbit hole for a little while. And I think it's interesting. Follow the rabbit, the white rabbit, into what is the holy grail? So when you think about, like, in parallelism and concurrency, one of the things early on we would all say is, just have the compiler do it. Why doesn't the compiler auto-parallelize and auto-vectorize? Well, it so happens that it does now. So they're making, so the holy grail is reachable. Not perfect. In your world, remember back in the day when you could just press a button and I'd authenticate to N number of services. What's going on in your world in terms of the holy grail of identity?
Well, It's again, you are putting
it's an easy question, man.
Responsibility on my shoulders, which kind of I could do better. I promise, once back home, I'll start pumping some iron. So I'd say that that's actually close to what I was saying before.
Okay.
Say that the idea is getting to a point where the protocols that you're using are so simple
mm-hmm.
that you don't necessarily need to rely on libraries. Well, in reality, libraries help you with things like menial tasks. Like it's not just about protecting you from complexity. Mm-hmm. It's also protecting you from repeating to do over and over the same stuff.
Absolutely.
But the idea is that we are trying to move, to converge to a place where we can all agree on these or simplify the set of protocols. If you look at the last, say, 10 years, you could see this trajectory in which we started with things like Kerberos, then tried to expand it outside, but didn't really work because it works great within your environment, but for federating is hard.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was this Corba thing in which you had like this Bible you had to read. And then we tried to simplify that by slicing it and saying, well, let's do the WS star things so that things are modular. It was simpler, but not quite as simple as needed. And then you had this grassroots movement of people saying, hey, we want to use REST and we want to simplify things.
Mm-hmm.
These are the things on off for avoiding to have to type your password in the wrong place. So in the end, now we are going through this process of further refinement in which we are getting in a place where protocols are simple, but they do the job that they are supposed to do. So I'd say that the holy grail, if there is such a thing, is getting to a place where this vision becomes viable.
Excellent. Excellent. Now, in the REST case, because you're sending plain text back and forth, obviously you're doing it over HTTPS.
By all means.
I mean, it'd be smart to do that.
Yes.
But you might also want to do it over your own protocol.
Yeah, well, technically here we can go as deep as we want. Like REST, in theory, doesn't really mandate using HTTP. But in reality, that's what happens.
Sure.
Let's say that Roy, when he came out with his idea of REST, he tried to make a position this as generic, and he is completely right. Like
yeah.
It's just a way of slicing your problem. Instead of TCP and different actions, is I have a resource, I can create it, I can delete it, I can update it.
Mm-hmm.
But like REST is all this. But again, the overwhelming reality, and where frankly innovation is happening, is all at the HTTP side. So you look at all these various websites that have capabilities and they offer you their own UI, but then they discover that being a platform is better because if you expose APIs, people will use your capabilities and your data in ways that you just didn't imagine yourself.
Yeah.
And so that's why there is so much like this API economy and there is so much emphasis on securing this stuff.
Because, absolutely.
The more valuable your data, the more valuable the function that you provide, the more you want to make sure that whoever uses it is the intended audience.
Absolutely. That is the crux of identity.
No, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. It's an essential to everything. And I love the fact that Active Directory is at the core of it, right? Because, I mean, it's one of the largest identity stores that exist.
Oh, yeah. I'd say that in the history of IT, it's one of the most successful franchises. Like Active Directory was a fantastic success.
Excellent. So I'm just going to make a shout out to people out there. Are you up yet? Hashtag CH9Live. We have Vittorio Bertacci, DJ Joey Snow up here. I mean, now's your chance to ask, you know, the identity questions and Azure questions and IT pro questions and stuff like that. We're going to get pretty hardcore on the dev side as we progress through the day. So take advantage of these two people being here, and let's continue with Vittorio. Ask questions.
Hashtag CH9Live. Get them in. So how are folks responding when you go out and talk about this? Are they starting to, the developers really starting to see, okay, now I can really integrate this. I'm not having to call for credentials every single time an application starts. Is it helping in achieving this? We all want our stuff available to us all the time, right?
Absolutely.
As an IT guy, my people are calling me and they're saying, I am at Starbucks or I'm on a plane. I want to access this now.
That is, this specific part about the Windows Azure Active Directory is just a couple of weeks that we speak about it openly. But I have to say that the response has been fantastic. Because think of what you'd normally have to do with a classic, I don't know, expense note SaaS application. In which if you want this thing to know who your manager is, Well, pretty much every night you have to upload a CSV file with all the information about your users. And if something changes, if you forget to do it at the right moment. And instead, Windows Azure Active Directory holds the promise of normalizing life in the same way in which back in the late 90s, the original Active Directory did that on-premise. Mm. Like if you guys remember Windows for Workgroup.
I do, absolutely.
Should I install Token Ring or like this, what is this TCP IP thing? It was awesome. And you had all those islands of applications that were mostly designed to be like personal productivity and packages that all of a sudden had this possibility of talking from a network. And pretty much everybody, like it was a Cambrian explosion. Everybody came with their own solution. And it was just a mess because like you as an administrator, I'm sure you can relate. You had to like manage all these things. You had to have to learn all of them. You had to find a way of synchronizing that. Mm-hmm. And then the idea of Directory came, and Active Directory established itself as the place for keeping, taking hold of all the info that are shared across the infrastructure. It provided a unified, consistent way of doing provisioning. So basically, it brought order. Mm-hmm. And like people loved it, and in fact, very successful. Sure. But now that you have all this chance of like talking to cloud applications, what happens is that those cloud apps are very, very convenient because, of course, you don't install anything. You pop out a browser, you type something, you're there. Or you pull out your phone and you call a couple of services and everything is in there. So very compelling. But these things that they could not come back from the like back door and find out about your data, basically, they brought us back to the late 90s. Like saying, okay, now we have to upload this stuff again. No, I have been through this before. I don't want to do it again. And in fact, Windows Azure Active Directory holds the promise of solving this problem, and people are just loving it.
So beautiful.
I'd say that we are, I'm actually excited about this new development.
Awesome. One question I have about Active Directory, I mean, for compute-intensive environments where maybe you're blasting through the Active Directory to do whatever you need to do, how does it scale? So I mean, in other words, how much computing goes on in the Active Directory work? I mean, it's a database, back end, and then you just do queries over it to figure out what group they're in, blah blah blah. But what's the right term? The morphology of Active Directory.
Here, I'll have to be completely honest.
Yeah.
My day job is developer experience.
Got
so
it.
I help people to take advantage of this thing. Yeah. And I have blind trust in our architects to do the right thing.
Of course
under
they will.
The hood, I have no idea.
Fair enough.
How it works. So
but I mean, it is fast, right? It's fast.
It is
fast. It's fast. It's reliable.
Yes. You have to, like, especially on the cloud, whether you have 10 million users or 100 million users, you have to be consistent. You are on a critical path. So
absolutely.
You have to be available. You have to, like, no token, no part. And this thing does scale.
I'm sure.
No worries about that.
Excellent. Now, in terms of security, which is obviously these days very important, I mean, it's always been very important, but
of course.
Software is software.
Yep.
And that means there's vulnerabilities. I mean, the fact is there always will be. Now, let's talk a little bit about this movement you're making in Active Directory to make everything simple for developers and for consumers. Clearly, you have to always think about the Sith
Absolutely.
Warriors that are going to be
Absolutely.
Trying to hack in there.
Yep.
You're a Jedi hacker, but you have like sort of the dark side is going to just, simplicity, huh? That means there's a lot of complexity underneath I can exploit.
Well, here I'd say that a big club is simple.
Okay.
But it's also very effective. So I wouldn't think that saying simple necessarily means vulnerable.
Okay.
If anything, like the more moving parts, the more surface, and the more possibility that something didn't exactly, I'd say, connect in the
sure,
right
sure,
place.
Sure.
So all this is being designed by keeping everything super, super simple, bare bone. Mm. Well, one thing that our distinguished engineer like to say is that things that are simple on-premise are hard in the cloud, and things that are hard on-premise are impossible on the cloud. Like, you have to keep things simple, because as soon as you add the scale, especially is relevant to your question, multi-tenancy, you have to make sure that you have a very, how to say, tight separation between tenants so that there is no cross-pollination or anything. And I'd say that we are fairly solid here because the idea of delegating access, the idea of issuing you a token and scoping the token specifically to your tenant, to the things that you want to access, as opposed to, for example, to just give you a flat username and password like you do in LDAP and then here, keys or kingdom. Here instead, like, we could express what you can do in a token. And then at that point, that's pretty much the boundaries. We can box you and we can get to whatever granularity we want. So the principle is that we still do that. The main simplification is that we do that using auth, and we use it doing a specific token format, which is the JWT or JOT, which stands for JSON Web Token.
Interesting.
Now, this thing is based on JSON, so it's much, much simpler than XML.
Great.
XML requires canonicalization, has hard, crypto requirements. Instead, JSON is very simple. Of course, you still have crypto because you need the baseline, but this thing is follows exactly the same principles as the thicker protocols. It just happens to be simpler, but there is no loss in security. Like, the only thing is that with those fancy protocols, you can do things like non-repudiation. So you could sign parts of your message and say, hey, I signed it. Whereas in the spirit of simplicity, normally with auth, you just attach this thing as a header, you rely on the opaque pipe of HTTPS, and that's it. However, as we move forward, we're already thinking about adding this capability, which is the proof key. And I'm sure that if there will be demand, it will be added.
Sure. So, I mean, the question I would ask is, in terms of protocols, when I do banking, I'm assuming that my bank is going to have a pretty specific lockdown, very cryptographically sound protocol.
Yep.
They're not going to be doing JSON and REST. But they may.
Actually, here, let me clarify.
Okay.
The idea of security and the idea that you are using JSON and REST are
orthogonal. Yes.
Absolutely orthogonal. Let's say that you could have a very opaque pipe with very thick borders, and you can verify that this pipe is connected to the right place.
Mm-hmm.
And once you are confident that all of that happens, then what you put on the pipe and send out, so what? And there is really no... Like, we really shouldn't confuse the fact that we are using a simpler presentation, that we are using a very agile method for dealing with this, with the security.
Got
like,
it.
This
Good.
Stuff is as secure as your classic XAML. Don't
Beautiful.
Worry.
Good. Don't worry. But you know what? Don't worry. Ask questions. All right? Hashtag CH9Live. I mean, I realize this in the morning. We're in beautiful Amsterdam. Who knows what you guys were doing last night, but ask questions. We have great people here. This is all for you. Now, we'd love, I mean, we got to talk to Vittorio all day. We got DJ Joey Snow, but this is for you guys. So ask questions. Come on.
Hashtag CH9Live. Absolutely.
Pound CH9Live. How do you say this? Pound or hashtag?
I would say hashtag. That's me.
Why is this a hashtag? It's not
a
pound.
That's
Man, for me, it's a
Or a sharp.
It's a diesis. It's like one symbol that you use in music notation.
That's
as
sharp.
Far as I get.
Yeah. Sharp CH9 Live.
Sharp CH9 Live. We're
rock and roll.
We're changing Twitter.
Sharp CH9 Live.
It's basically a chord. Try it on your guitar back at home.
Right on, man. So, any more questions for Vittorio?
Yeah. Do you have any other sessions? Is there anything else going on?
Well, unfortunately, I've got to hop on a plane in a few hours. And I say unfortunately because I always love to come out of a Redmond bubble, but there's work to be done. Otherwise, we just keep talking about this and we don't bring it out. But the good news is that very, very soon now, we are going to release a developer preview of Windows Azure Active Directory.
Awesome.
So that people will be able to experiment with the REST APIs that I just described. They'll be able to do single sign-on using Windows Azure Active Directory, which today means Office 365.
Yep.
So if an organization got Office 365, then they'll be able to take their own line of business apps and use that infrastructure for signing in their own apps. Or an ISV might be able to sell their application to that audience.
Okay.
Of course, this is a preview, so people won't be able to go in production, and we are fully committed to get this right. So we'll put this thing out, we get feedback, we change it and put another preview out, and we'll go on until we get to a place in which we say, yes, we are comfortable that this is what should come out, and only then we'll crystallize the interfaces. So please experiment with this, but don't go in production, because we'll change things, like I can almost guarantee.
So organizations that are currently running in Office 365 kind of have the advantage in terms of getting adoption here, and I assume if you've got services, say, running out there in SharePoint and stuff, you'll be able to start integrating this, these services
yep,
in.
Absolutely. And the other exciting thing is that we are consolidating all of our cloud services against the Windows Azure Active Directory. So not only you'll be able to take advantage of our directory, but pretty much like already today Intune is using the Windows Azure Active Directory. In short, Windows Azure itself will use Windows Azure Active Directory. So you will be able to sign up as an organization.
Excellent.
And assign things per role, and all the goodness that you are used to with a classic federation will be available there.
Awesome, man. Well, hey, I'm glad that you're in there leading the charge.
Thank you.
Helping us understand.
I am just a one of the cogs.
You're very humble, of course. You're more than a cog. But I mean, I think it's good to make it understandable for people. I think identity has always been, at least for me, one of those things that has always just been sort of the black box, someone else figure it out.
That's how it should be. You shouldn't worry about it. We'll think about it. Never
good.
Mind.
Excellent, man.
Do you feel better now?
Yeah, I do. So we're going to wind down here. I just want to let people know, coming up, we have Going Native Live, and we're going to have special guests on that. We already talked about Steve Teixeira and Kate Gregory.
Mm-hmm.
And then we will have the Ping Live after that. But for now, it's Vittorio Live. And
Charles
DJ
Live.
Snow.
Joy and Charles.
I'm just a lawnmower. You can tell me by the way I walk. So, Joey, what are you up to the rest of the day, man?
So the rest of the day, I'm going to hang out checking out Twitter.
Excellent.
So you want to get all your Twitter questions in, and I'm going to send them right to Charles's way.
Yep.
We're going to come back a little bit later on in the day, hopefully, and do some more chatting. But
excellent.
And I'm all fired up. The panel you've got on Big Data, with Mark and
Paula.
Jeffrey the sequel Michael,
yep.
And then obviously the security panel. That's what I'm all fired up for, and I guess.
And also, I mean, Bart De Smet will be here. He's, you know, he's not Dutch, but he's Belgian.
He might as well be.
He lives. My point is, you know him because he's one of the best developers I've ever met personally. And it's going to be fun to get on here and geek out with him, because he's done an unbelievable amount of work in the latest version of Reactive Extensions. And basically, if you want to watch an 80-minute interview on C9, it's there. We spent about 40 minutes talking about time.
Wow, that's
turns
awesome.
Out time is complex in programming. But rock and roll. Vittorio, always great to see you, man.
Thank you guys for having me.
Grazie, signore.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Grazie,
we'll see you later, Joey.
I'll be back.
Rock and roll.